We're back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This weekend, HBO premieres Confirmation, a new drama about the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas hearings. Now, it's been 25 years since Hill testified about sexual harassment from the then Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas. And HBO's writers faced a particular problem. They were tasked with dramatizing a moment in American history that really needs no dramatization. The truth of the Thomas hearings, which were broadcast live on national television in 1991, is shocking enough. Take, for example, the level of detail Anita Hill had to include in her initial statement to the Senate Judiciary Committee.
He spoke about acts that he had seen in pornographic films involving such matters as women having sex with animals and films showing group sex or rape scenes.
That is Anita Hill testifying in 1991. And then there was the vehemence with which Thomas responded to the allegations.
This is a circus. It's a national disgrace. And from my standpoint, as a black American, as far as I'm concerned, it is a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who in any way deign to think for themselves.
And then there was the political grandstanding from members of the Judiciary Committee itself and the humiliating questioning they subjected Hill to over the many hours of her testimony. Take this moment, led by Senator Howell Heflin, Democrat of Alabama.
Do you have a militant attitude relative to the area of civil rights?
No, I don't have a militant attitude.
Do you have a martyr complex?
No, I don't.
Well, the issue of fantasy has arisen.
There is no indication that I'm an individual who is not in touch with reality on a regular basis that would be subject to fantasy.
Again, that is actual tape from the 1991 hearings that forever changed Supreme Court confirmations and the American conversation about sexual harassment. And here's how HBO brings the hearings back to life in the new drama, Confirmation.
If what you say this man said to you occurred, why in God's name, when he left his position of power or status or authority over you, why in God's name would you ever speak to a man like that the rest of your life?
That's a very good question. And I am sure that I cannot answer it to your satisfaction.
That is one of the things that I have tried to do here today.
I have suggested that I was afraid of retaliation. I was afraid of damage to my professional life. I believe that you have to understand that this kind of response is not atypical, and I can't explain it. It takes an expert in psychology to explain how that can happen. But it can happen. Because it happened to me.
It's Kerry Washington there, starring as Anita Hill. You also heard actor Peter McRobbie playing Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson. And for those scenes in Confirmation that occurred during the hearings, they used the actual transcript. Interesting. So back to that main question, how do you dramatize such an important moment in recent history, and why now? What new light can this new take shed on the Thomas hearing? So joining us now is Susanna Grant. She's screenwriter for HBO's Confirmation. Susanna Grant, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. First of all, tell us, what attracted you to writing this drama, this movie now?
Well, I, you know, 3 years ago, there was a documentary on Anita Hill by a documentary filmmaker named Frieda Mock, and I watched it, and I was immediately hungry to know what happened when the cameras weren't rolling. This seemed like a case when the machine of our government managed to so chew up people who were trying to just do their civic duty, and I wanted to know how the decisions got made. It also was, you know, it was such an intersection of issues that were obviously very potent then in our culture, issues of power and race and gender, and I don't think they're any less potent now.
Right.
So it seemed like an interesting, it seemed like a good way to look at it, because in terms of gender, you know, it was the moment when people realized that men and women were perceiving workplace behavior very differently.
Right. Well, so...
And that, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to jump in here because I think that that's what the film actually, the idea of that what went on behind the scenes is really mm-hmm. the thing that the film brings that we didn't get when we were all watching the confirmation hearings back in 1991, right? Because we were just seeing what was going on in the hearing room.
Right.
So in order to get a better understanding of the political forces, the machinations, the players, you know, you interviewed many of them. Who were you able to talk to?
I reached out to absolutely everyone, and I managed to talk to a few of the senators on the committee, a lot of their staff members. I did speak to Anita Hill. I spoke to lawyers who worked with her. I worked with people. I spoke to people who were supportive of Justice Thomas at the time as well. I did about 40 in-person interviews, and then there was a lot of there were two books. Very exhaustive books written about it, and a number of people involved also wrote memoirs. So Clarence Thomas himself did, as did Anita Hill.
Were you able to speak to now Vice President Joe Biden? Because, of course, he was the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee at the time.
He was. I was not able to speak to him.
Okay. Because, I mean, because really, to me, I was most taken by the film because by all... The ideas that there are these political forces at play, and it seemed more of an exploration of how those political forces then redound on the individual lives of people, such as Anita Hill. So how did you go about taking those interviews and then turning them into the movie that we see?
Well, that was a very interesting aspect of it to me, the clash between the most intensely personal and the political, and they seemed so completely incompatible in this moment in our history. And so understanding that was the essential dramatic conflict helped me make a lot of those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it a kind of... is it fair to say that the indictment is something of a... the film is something of an indictment of those politics that were at play? Because I think if anyone comes off unsympathetically, it's all the senators who were trying to move the chess pieces around in the very intense days and hours of the hearings.
I did come away from this project feeling that the efforts made in the interest of the preservation of power are often not in the interest of the citizens of this country.
Mm.
That's an answer.
Well, I think when folks watch it on HBO, confirmation on HBO this weekend, they can make their own judgments about that. But I do want to play another clip from Confirmation. And this is a scene where Anita Hill's lawyer, Charles Ogletree, the mm-hmm. Harvard professor who's played by Jeffrey Wright, is talking with Professor Hill, played by Kerry Washington. And I believe this is right after Clarence Thomas really gives his first fiery rebuttal of her allegations.
This is not a judicial proceeding. This is political theater. And Thomas just performed.
So he got you.
No, I'm not saying anything he said was relevant, but he did tell a truth.
By saying that supporting me is synonymous with supporting lynching?
No.
He is not,
I'm not trying
the
to say that.
Victim
here. I'm not trying
then
to say that
either.
What
are you trying to say, Charles?
Listen.
Yeah, and it goes on. It's really interesting. I mean, so can you tell us a little bit more about that scene?
Well, I was very interested in my own... my own understanding that there could be two truths being expressed. I mean, when you see Clarence Thomas sitting there watching his professional life implode, obviously not, he was confirmed, but in the moment it certainly felt like it to everyone around him. And he's looking at a wall of 14 white male senators, many of whom had had their, not many, a few of whom had had their own very serious ethical violations, both financial and sexual. Some of them were going through them at that moment, and they were untouched by them. So obviously there is something in our country that makes that possible, certainly made it possible in that moment, and that's worth calling out. However, that is not what the hearings were about.
Yeah.
But once raised, it was something people couldn't look away from.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if we could take a step back here for a moment, because you've written other films that that dramatize other moments in history. I mean, you wrote Erin Brockovich, amazing mm-hmm. movie, fantastic film. You also wrote Disney's Pocahontas, so quite a range there. Can you tell us like what the attraction is to you, and also the concurrent challenges for taking history and putting it into film?
Well, those are very different projects.
Vastly
is a Disney product, and they treat history obviously differently. Their primary objective is to make an entertainment, and so that that was not my. They took licenses with history that left to myself. I should say we took licenses with history that on my own I wouldn't make. When a story comes up that I think is worth a wider audience, that points to something that I feel passionate about, I think the abuse of power is something I feel very passionate about, and that was certainly the case in Erin Brockovich, and I that's the case here, then it feels like something, a story worth telling in another medium. And, when it comes to Anita Hill, you speak to people under 35, they have no idea who she is. This is a chapter of our cultural history that has not been written into our history books.
Yeah.
And that seems wrong to me. It was such a pivotal event. So much came out of it. A dialogue came out of it where previously there had just been silence. And for that not to be something we talk about and something we look back on seemed very wrong to me.
This is a very important point, and I'm glad you made it, because a little earlier in our conversation, we played that clip from Confirmation where Senator Alan Simpson is questioning Anita Hill. We actually talked, and you talked with Senator Simpson extensively in your research for the movie. We talked to Senator Simpson as well recently about what he made of the film, and there was one concern that he brought up specifically to us, and I wanted to play this for you.
So, let's say that a 20-year-old gets to watch it who didn't know anything about it 25 years ago, and I'll tell you what they're going to say when they leave the movie. Which one of these people were lying? Which is just exactly what happened in the hearing ended 25 years ago. So, Merry Christmas. Have a good shot at it.
Susanna, I noticed that at the end of the film, am I right in thinking that it takes pains to not come down on a side here, even though most people definitely have an opinion on who they believed?
Most people have an opinion, absolutely. But I really, and I have an inclination, that you can't look at the story and not feel yourself drawn to one version of it or another. But at the same time, I went into it very early on saying there are only two people who know what happened between those two people. Whatever happened, happened in a room with a door closed, and there were no witnesses. So I can't presume to know. For this movie to have any credibility, I can't presume to know what went on between them.
Hmm.
And I also think there are more interesting questions raised by this incident than that. I think it had been reduced to that in a kind of an unfortunate way. And I think the balance of power and the abuse of power and the gender politics and the racial politics are all things that are so much more complicated and so much more compelling.
Right.
That to just park it back in that same lane of who do you believe seemed reductive to me.
Yeah.
and not worth doing.
Well, Susanna Grant produced and wrote the script for the new HBO movie, Confirmation. It premieres on HBO this weekend. Her other screenwriting credits include everything from Erin Brockovich to The Soloist to Disney's Pocahontas. Susanna, it's been so great to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Well, we thought we'd end today hearing from Anita Hill herself. She's a law professor at Brandeis University, and I spoke with her on the 20th anniversary of the hearings a couple years back, and she told us while much has changed about how Americans deal with workplace sexual harassment, there's a lot that hasn't changed as well. Here's more of what she said.
Well, it is a difficult thing to come forward, but I can say that a lot of women have come forward, and they've come forward publicly. But it is it's a difficult choice, and it's a personal choice. I can't say that I like being Anita Hill, and I wouldn't trade my place with anyone else. But there is another part of it. Americans confirmed that this behavior matters, that sexual harassment matters. It is a reflection on the character and the judgment of individuals who participate in it, who engage in harassing behavior. It is a reflection on their respect for the law, and it's a reflection on their ability to be leaders. And so I think that has been affirmed. I will say this, though. We are not going to be able to change the behavior in 20 years. This is behavior that has been going on since time immemorial. But I think we've moved monumentally in the 20 years since the hearings.
Now, regarding those hearings, you were 35?
Yes.
At the time? I'm 36 now, and it's hard, if not impossible, for me to imagine myself doing what you did at the age I am now, sitting before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and those senators who at that time were all white men, and making testimony and sharing a story that was going to change political history in America. So I guess my question for you is, how are you feeling? I mean, what was your heart rate like? What was going through your mind?
I don't think at that moment that I had any real sense of what would happen in the future. And maybe I wouldn't even allow myself to think about that. My purpose in testifying was to really tell the truth about my experience. And that's what I had in mind doing. And that was a task that I had set for myself. My task wasn't to change, even to change the senator's mind, but it was to be able to tell my story and the truth that of what I had experienced in the workplace.
Anita Hill from a Radio Boston conversation back in January 2012. You can hear the whole thing at radioboston.org. And as Professor Hill told us then and has said ever since, regardless of the fallout she experienced from participating in the Thomas hearings, she looks back with no regret and says she would do it again. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.